Known as the movie capital of the world, bringing films to audiences that provide entertainment and at times thought-provoking drama, Hollywood recently hosted a different kind of media through a unique forum broadcast live worldwide on Supreme Master Television on Saturday, July 26, 2008. The Climate Change International Conference was held at the Pacific Design Center in West Hollywood, California, USA. Organized by the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association, it was a conference that brought together green Hollywood celebrities and notable speakers. Co-hosted by Emmy Award-winning television journalist and vegan Jane Velez Mitchell, the event was informative and the subject matter highly relevant. Three panels were conducted, each with a different theme: the urgent scientific facts of the climate crisis, its spiritual perspectives, and the transformational role of the media. Invited as a special guest speaker, Supreme Master Qinghai graciously attended via live video conference to answer questions from the panelists as well as the audience. We now invite you to join us for the rebroadcast of the Climate Change International Conference.
To quote somebody who we all think is pretty smart, Albert Einstein, "Nothing will benefit human health and increase the chances for survival of life on Earth as much as the evolution to a vegetarian diet." This is Albert Einstein. Nothing will benefit human health and increase the chances for survival of life on Earth as much as the evolution to a vegetarian diet. What more needs to be said? Now, there are many different means to get this information out to the public. Dr. Tuttle's book, The World Peace Diet, is incredible. David Gershon's book, Low Carbon Diet, is also incredible. I suggest that all of you pick up one or two of those. And the reality is that meat feeds few at the expense of many. While we could be feeding ourselves and others with grain, we're instead feeding grain to cows. This makes no sense. Some of the stats that have been said today that are really crucial are that 16 pounds of grain goes to create 1 pound of meat. That is not a good equation. The idea that I like people to really consider is that for every serving of meat that you sit down at your dinner table and eat, the grain and cereals that went to feed the animal that created that meat could have fed 45 to 50 people. So when you sit and look at that one helping of meal, that one burger at the one restaurant, think about 45 or 50 people with empty bowls standing around you, hungry. That's really what's going on. There is no disconnect anymore. The most stark fact that I think that I've read or come across, and Supreme Master actually mentioned it earlier, I'm not sure if you guys picked up on it, but in America alone, the amount of grain that is used to feed just the cows in America would feed 840 million people. That is more than the entire population of starving people on the planet. So let's get real about this. Just in America, just the cows that we feed the grain would solve starvation worldwide. So the idea that what's on the end of your plate doesn't matter and is disconnected can't exist anymore. So what we do at Creative Citizen is, especially for Americans, a phased approach to becoming a vegan is very important. I've been a vegetarian for 5.5 years and grew up in Chicago. It's really tough to not eat meat when you live in a place like Chicago. And so I phased it out slowly, and actually it wasn't that slow, but the reality is I took steps to get there. And so what we have on Creative Citizen are different creative solutions that people can do in regards to eating a plant-based diet. First is eat less beef, okay? You don't have to eliminate everything immediately. Eat less beef. Then the next is eat no beef. Then the next is eat just fish. Then the next is full-on vegetarian, and then finally vegan. And so this, especially for Americans who are extremely entrenched in a meat-eating diet, this is a way that people can really get out of that trap and get into a healthy lifestyle, and at the same time save an incalculable amount of resources for the rest of humanity. Supreme Master's got a really cool convenient method, which is a good place to start, where you take 10 days out of a month off. So if you want to do 10 days in a row, it's kind of like a long fast, or if you want to do every third day, weekends, whatever the case may be, this is a way to help you realize that you don't actually need to eat meat, which is really the most difficult mental barrier for people to get over. And infusing it 10 days a month, I think, is a very effective method. So all in all, I'd like to, you know, really get us back to the reality that you know, having dominion over plants and animals means stewardship. That is the real definition. That's the real translation of that word. It's stewardship. It's not kill it, eat it, and destroy it. So, and then beyond that, that vegetarianism and veganism is a very wonderful thing when it comes to the environment, but there are infinite amount of creative solutions that you can tap into in your daily life. And that it is time now for our human race to act. We cannot wait for governments. We cannot wait for big business. We cannot wait for our neighbors. We must begin now. And it's time for the individual, each and every one of us, to stand up and make that change. And once we individually do that, one by one, the globe as a whole will shift. So I encourage you all to go to creativecitizen.com and really begin to infuse these things into your life and realize that there are so many things that it is absolutely unacceptable to say it's too big for me and I can't do it. It is every facet of your life and you can do it. And frankly, we must.
Yes, we must. We must. Just like he said, we must do it. Either that or we will perish. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have
Thank
one
you.
Last set of questions from the audience, and the first is from a professional stuntman, Robert Alonzo.
Master Cheng Hai and John Ratz, how can artists and entertainers use their influence to make living sacred and preserving life cool and in style? Are celebrities a key element in the evolution of humanity to a world of peace and compassion? Thank you.
Oh, I let John answer. He's smart and cool.
Thanks a lot. There are a lot of parts to that question. I personally feel that in our particular culture, we place too much emphasis on celebrities and not enough on people such as Supreme Master who were out there doing the good work. It's a big, big population, and there are a lot of people doing good work that are not recognized.
Sure.
And that's what when I speak of a shift in media values, we need to start honoring more everyday people who are doing good work and holding them out as models so that... I don't think there's anybody in this room who doesn't find it very, very fascinating and helpful and inspiring when we hear of people, whether in India or Africa or Europe or other countries, that are, you know, individuals who are out there on the streets connecting with whatever the problem is and working to make it better. And the way that celebrities can be helpful in that regard is that, you know, I kind of look at them as transitionary, because right now many people do still pay attention to celebrities. And until we shift our consciousness and shift our orientation to what we truly value, celebrities can be there to give their stamp of approval, if you will. I can give you one example. My friend Jim Carrey is very much at the forefront of activism. He was a very big supporter of Aung San Suu Kyi. And he's working now, I didn't know this, and some of you probably do, that rice crops contribute a huge amount of methane in the environment. And Jim is now working on some sort of a rice project that will create a type of rice that doesn't outgas as much and contribute to the methane problem. So celebrities are valuable in terms of giving, at this point, a kind of stamp of approval. But I feel, again, we need to phase that out and bring all of us and other people around the world who are brothers and sisters doing this work into focus for others.
Our next question comes from Spice Williams Crosby.
I am Spice Williams Crosby.
And
outside of being an actress and a stunt woman, a martial artist, I am a 30-year food combining organic vegan. And I also was the first vegan bodybuilder to squat 315 pounds and bench 235 drug-free and animal-free.
Wow. Wow.
It can be done.
Look at her.
Master Xing Hai, Ni Hao Ma.
Ni Hao.
I'd like to make a statement first that America is number one in cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and osteoporosis, and medical treatment here in our country is the third biggest killer. I believe that diseases grow out of a toxic environment, and yet our FDA, our pharmaceutical companies, and our food companies continue to pollute our world and our bodies with their so-called approved chemicals, all in the name of science. I'd like to introduce my son, Luke Gregory Crosby, and he will ask the question.
Hello, my name is Luke Gregory Crosby. I'm the great-grandson of Bing Crosby.
Wow, hello.
I'm 13 years old, and I've been a vegan for my entire life. I study martial arts, Shotokan, and I've never been vaccinated and everything. But when I was 18 months old, I got the Coxsackie virus from a newly vaccinated child, and from that, I got type 1 diabetes. But my question is, being a vegan keeps all diabetics' blood sugar regulated. How come doctors don't tell people about vegan, like diabetics, for instance, about vegan diets to keep their blood sugar regulated?
Beautiful, Luke. I'm so sorry. You don't need vaccination, but another vaccinated person could even infect you with this trouble of diabetic. Now, you're right, Luke. I think the doctors should inform all their patients about the helpful factor of being a vegan to cure diabetic as well as to prevent it, to further development. But maybe they don't, or some of them do, or maybe the most of them don't. I think maybe they don't know it, Luke. Maybe they don't know about vegan diet that helps diabetic people. Vegetarianism is still not as fashionable as gene, perhaps. So what we do is we can put this in our website on the SupremeMasterTelevision.com for people to look up to. And you or yourself or anyone here or anyone out there, you know, please put it on your website as information for the diabetic people. Yeah, so that they know they can cure themselves by turning into vegan. Thank you, Luke, for the beautiful information. And you look beautiful yourself. Your mother must be proud.
There is a book that just came out this year that I wrote called There Is a Cure to Diabetes. And yes, we are talking about veganism, but we're actually talking, and fast track is live food veganism, where we're reversing it in 21 days.
Wow.
Type 2. Type 1, what we see is, generally speaking, at least a 75% decrease in insulin need on this diet. So that's very significant because insulin has a lot of problems. Now, just for the fun of it, I want to note that Gabriel here has been a 25 years on 99 to 100% live food. When I was a meat-eating captain of an undefeated football team and could do 70 push-ups, at the age of 65 years ago, I did 601 push-ups and a lot more flexible. So there's something to be said about the more than anti-aging effects of this kind of diet. Now, I want to talk about vaccinations just for a moment. It's just part of the culture of consciousness. The main cause of polio has been, and admitted by the people who developed the vaccine, has been actually the vaccine. And they make this thing about everybody has to be vaccinated. The truth is, people can catch, particularly SV40 virus, we don't want to get too technical, from other people, which is a cancer-causing virus. And then one correction, the main cause of death today is iatrogenic medicine. Number one, not number three. Carolyn Dean in her book about that. So we need to be aware of that. But the main thing, getting back to the details, also I'm going to say that vaccinations increase your rate, according to the research done in Finland and Denmark, approximately, I hate to say this, 147% of getting type 1 diabetes. Now, we have seen some healing. We've got 4 or 5 cases of type 1 diabetes that have completely healed. And our movie that's come out, which is naturally simply raw, there is a reversal of diabetes. We actually had somebody cure on our movie, you know, which is unexpected. But we have 4 or 5 cases. We can't consistently talk about it. For type 2 diabetes, we're talking 95% of the people reversing in 21 days to maybe 6 weeks to, you know, 3 months. So it's very exciting because we are turning on the anti-aging and anti-diabetic genes by this way. The veganism is good. Live food is dramatically better. And you can find out about it at, again, GabrielCousins.com. We have all that information. And the book, There is a Cure for Diabetes. But the big thing is, the veganism is one of the main ways of preventing diabetes. Meat eating increases the rate of diabetes about 3.8 to 4 times. We just need to keep it in mind. But it's a symptom, again, of the culture of death way of life, as is vaccinations. And we're all talking about shifting the consciousness that says, hey, we're one with the living planet, and we start doing things in a natural way. In Ayurvedic, we call it, we stop doing crimes against wisdom. And diabetes is a way of living in a way that we're not creating crimes against wisdom that create global warming and indeed create a tremendous amount of chronic disease on the planet. Thank you for answering the question.
Well, thank you very much for such a fascinating question and some interesting answers. We have one last question from the audience, and it will come from Lance Webster.
I'm Lance Webster, the administrator for Earth Communications Office. From the early 1990s through a couple of years ago, we produced a series of public service announcements that have been seen by over 1 billion people worldwide in most of the major languages of the United Nations on environmental issues. And my question is, if we were to produce more materials, or if the media in general were to focus on a particular area, I'd like to ask each of the three panelists very briefly to say, what would you recommend for media focus? Could be governmental issues, could be technology issues, could be economic issues or spiritual issues or a combination. Or can you phrase, each of you, very briefly, what direction you think the media should go in order to create the kind of change we need to see in the world?
So the first thing we want to play with, and it starts really with what John said, there's another media, okay? And that media is our own frequency of our DNA. It's the DNA internet. And when we are conscious, we are communicating a level of consciousness, a holographic experience of a deeper reality. So when we create the holographic experience of peace within ourselves, it goes out all over the planet. It actually even affects the amount of sunspots. When people meditate on each equinox and solstice, literally what happens is the sunspots decrease by 36%. So don't think that we have the most powerful media that's inside of us, and it's the frequency of our DNA. It comes from our state of consciousness in our heart and our mind becoming one. So that's the ultimate media. It's the consciousness of the people creating the media that needs to be changed. And when we have people like John Ratz who have been that way for a while, it's great. And we need more people in the media who go in with consciousness and hold that consciousness. Because the truth is, there are so many people, and that's what John Ratz's work has shown, who want to get a deeper insight. But because of the economic needs, which is wealth for the few and ill health for the many, they're not allowing that truth to get out. But if we have the, you know, spiritually inspired, divinely inspired media, they will still do this because they will be able to communicate that truth on every level. So beyond a particular topic, the truth will be communicated from the, as on a consciousness level, whatever topic we're talking about.
Briefly, my general operating principle, as much as possible, is don't chase the media, be the media, and operate according to the principle of the highest first, which means go for that, whether it's a cause or, most importantly, consciousness and transformation itself. Let that be your guiding principle for selecting your approach, your tactic, your strategy, and so forth. So, you know, there's so many issues, and it's mind-numbing, and maybe you even know the term compassion fatigue. There's just so much to do, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. So how do you choose? Well, align with what you feel inside. Align with your intuition about what you should follow. And don't chase the mainstream media, but be the media. Use the internet, because it's the most effective tool right now for effecting social change. And there are so many ways of using the media from a marketing and public relations and publicity standpoint, as you know. And I feel that that's one of the best ways to marshal mass consciousness right now. A minor example, there's a movie in development right now called The Shift. As soon as the trailer for The Shift got out, there were hundreds of thousands of people worldwide who saw it. And the movie is profiling those individuals, companies, and organizations that are creating the shift in the world. Not waiting for the mainstream media to report on it, but saying, look at what these people are doing. And there's tremendous support for it. And so just use your heart, your intuition, your consciousness to promote itself, consciousness and transformation, and whatever the manifestations of that are for you, go with that.
Very good, very good. Very good. Very good, John. Mr. Ross, very good.
So, as you can tell, conscious media is being taken care of. John Rotz and the Elizabeth Estradas and Daryl Merchant's Elevate Films, Free Range Studios, these people are doing it, and they're doing it very, very well, and I look forward to seeing what they come out with in the future. The one take that I would have is sort of practical stuff. And while it's very clear that if people shift their consciousness, they will also become sustainable in their daily lives, because that the first step is consciousness. But also, I think there's a big gap for people, especially in certain areas of this country, that it's kind of hard to take that leap from totally unconscious to conscious. So I think that, you know, giving people sort of solutions, you know, the stuff that we focus on, stuff that's really practical for them and realistic. And so we're actually working with Free Range Studios to come out with a movie about creative solutions, things that people can do in their daily lives, save the environment and themselves. And that's one area that I would really like to target, a demographic that's still a long way away from being truly conscious. But I have faith that the rest of it is in very, very good hands.
From our panel, and now we do move on to Supreme Master and her closing thoughts.
Well, we're hoping to have you sum up the conference. We've covered so much ground. We've covered spirituality. We've covered the global warming crisis and the connection to the food consumption habits of Americans and the rest of the world. We've covered a transformational media. What's the commonality there? How do we sort of compress all this so that we can take it away with us?
Good question. Jane and all the distinguished people, I am a very simple woman. We can only say that everything takes so long. To get the media involved in this maybe take some time. To have the technology for sustainable energy takes sometimes. To invent new cars, less pollution and all that, and the production of it take long time, longer than several years. And we have not many years. That's why I have only one solution for everything, that is the vegan diet. Well, just say vegetarian diet. If people eat now and again a little dairy product, please don't scold them. It is some bad karma there, but if people do not concentrate the cow in the factory farming, just let them roam around like old time in the big meadows, just a few here and there, like family business, one or two. You know, when you have a cow as a pet, he will also give a little milk. And if you use that a little bit, that is not a great sin. The sin is to abuse them and make them produce so much that they could not even stand up. So now, if people agree to be vegetarian, I'm already very grateful. And once all of us, or at least the majority of us, become vegetarian, then the bad karma of the planet will change. The pattern of our destiny will change. And everything will become better. And we will invent much, much better things for our comfort, without costing the earth. And vegetarian diet will stop the global warming immediately, almost 2 weeks until 2 years is the maximum. Within 2 years is a maximum. Otherwise, if we all become vegetarian, or almost all of us become vegetarian, it takes maybe 2 months or 3 months to see the effect right away. Like the ice will go back to where it was, the earth will cool off again, and our life will be much more in abundance, and war will stop. Everybody will think completely differently. They will treat each other completely differently, because the compassion in their heart will return to its pristine power again. Right now, because of all this meat and poison, drug and cigarette, alcohol, the compassionate nature of people are being suppressed by the heaviness of the negative power that we have generated by using this poisonous stuff, especially the killing energy. This is the worst thing we can do to ourselves. So I have only one solution, that is being vegetarian, and the sooner the better. And then everything else, we will have time to take care. We will have time to develop different technology. We will have time to invent new cars. We will have time to tackle many other things that right now is not that urgent as the planetary warming, because truly it might destroy the whole planet and we will all go. Well, I don't mind going. It's just that how about the other people who like to live, who want to live on this planet, because they do not know yet there's another place that they could go. And if they die in such a situation, it's very difficult for their spiritual upliftment. And this is still a very beautiful planet. It's still repairable. So just one request, vegetarian diet. Then everything else we will have time to do and to think of. Very simple. 80% of global warming is caused by meat eating. So 80% of global warming will be solved by turning away from meat diet and adopting vegetarian diet. Now, another 20%, it is no problem really. Even if we still keep the cars, airplane, train, and take a lot of shower, it doesn't matter that much. Because only 20% of pollution, only 20% of damage, the earth can take care for us. Truly like that. So just spread out the vegetarianism, spread out all that information about the benefit of it. And that's the best thing we can do for the planet and for our children. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for your trust and your love for me. I wish all of you all the best. And God bless you in your mission.
Thank you, Supreme Master Ching Hai. I'm speaking for Donald, I'm sure. This has been, I'm humbled and honored to have had the privilege of emceeing this amazing event and meeting so many wonderful, evolved people. It gives me hope, because sometimes I do get depressed about what's happening in the world today. There's a lot of reasons for hope. As we wrap up tonight and conclude, let me tell you that here in California, there's a proposition on the November ballot called Prop 2, which is the Prevention of Farm Cruelty Act, which will ban pig gestation crates, veal cates, and battery crates. And it's on the November ballot, so you can vote yes on Prop 2. And this weekend, we are holding parties all across. I'm holding one with 375 RSVPs in Beverly Hills tomorrow, where people are coming together, and all of Hollywood is coming there to say, we want to do whatever we can to stop this cruelty. So we are caring people. We are going to turn this around, and we can solve all these problems, literally waking up tomorrow and not only going vegan ourselves. And I'm vegan. I hope most of the people in this audience, raise your hand. Are you vegetarian or vegan? How many of you? Okay, right there. That's great. And I'm sure the rest of you after this are on your way. On your way. So I'm filled with hope, and I have a renewed sense that we're going to keep moving forward, and we're going to make this world a compassionate place and a compassionate planet, right? Yeah. Let's do it.
And on behalf of the rest of the Canadian team who came down to help this with this event this weekend, I would like to express our sincere appreciation to Supreme Master Ching Hai for giving us this opportunity, and to our incredible Los Angeles host. We appreciate everything you've done and wish you all the very best in taking what you've learned today out and expand it around the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Really, thank you. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, all the MC. Thank you, all the hosts, the panels, great personage. We thank you all. Thank you, the organizing people as well. God bless you all. Goodbye now. So long. And please be a vegan if you're not yet. Try it. It will help you to see the world in a different perspective and to be closer to heaven. Just envision for me at least the world in which all beings live without fear of one another. We will all be vegan and we all live in happiness and blessing from heaven. God bless you. Vegetarian and vegan should be the norm in the society right now, should be the official solution, the immediate solution, the immediate effort for our planet. The government, the media should please help.
It has been a pleasure to have you with us for the rebroadcast of the live Climate Change International Conference on today's Words of Wisdom. Models of Success is up next, right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. Farewell and God bless.